Welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, CEO of Academia EDU, and as always, I'm here to bring you a friendly, nuanced look at recent academic research. Today's episode is all about a 2007 paper by Jürgen Kriz, Actualizing Tendency, the Link Between Person-Centered and Experiential Psychotherapy and Interdisciplinary Systems Theory. Quite the mouthful, I know. I'll be presenting the findings and perspectives neutrally, just so you know. My goal is not to endorse, but to share what the paper's trying to explore and maybe help you see how it could connect with your own ways of thinking. So this paper centers on a really big question. What do we really mean when we talk about... And if you're wondering what all that actually means for you, let's break it down. The actualizing tendency, first described by Carl Rogers, refers to a sort of inner drive in people, an impulse to realize their potential and adapt to the world in constructive ways. It's not, Kriz argues, a mystical belief or just a therapist's trick. It's a description of what happens if we take interconnectedness and relationships seriously. That's already intriguing, right? Not magic, not wishful thinking, just an observation about the consequences of being alive in a web of relationships. But here's where it gets spicy. A lot of critics have said, wait, isn't that just an unscientific, fluffy idea? Others have been worried that bringing in systems theory from physics, chemistry, math, biology might reduce the depth of psychotherapy to a cold science of machines. The question is, can these worlds meet without one swallowing the other? And for you in your own job or family or personal growth, does thinking like a physicist or a therapist actually help you transform? Kriz's argument. Remember, I'm just relaying this, not endorsing, is that these two domains can actually inform each other. On one hand, interdisciplinary system science, like, takes seriously the ways that systems, from beehives to brains, organize themselves, not through control from the outside, but by unfolding inherent patterns due to their environment. This is called self-organization. Imagine a flock of birds shifting shape in midair, or a group of people naturally falling into a rhythm at a concert. No one's orchestrating every move, yet a pattern emerges. Kriz ties this back to person-centered and experiential psychotherapy by saying, hey, maybe human growth, a person's healing or change or forming a stronger sense of self, works in this way too. Therapy isn't about the therapist engineering the patient, but about creating an environment where the client's actualizing tendency can self-organize new patterns of thought, feeling, and action. It's like the therapist isn't the mechanic fixing a broken machine, more like a gardener ensuring just the right mix of soil and sunlight, so the plant finds its own unique way to bloom. Digression time. You know, this talk of gardeners and systems always reminds me of my attempts to keep houseplants alive. No matter how many watering apps I download, somehow they all end up struggling. Maybe I should be thinking more in systems theory or, I don't know, just less watering. But okay, back to Kriz. He points out that our culture and a lot of modern psychology often defaults to what he calls the mechanistic approach. Problem spotted, solution applied, order imposed. In this model, coping means pushing against symptoms, like fighting depression or trying to fix anger. Kriz suggests, though, that from a systems perspective, these symptoms are meaningful self-organizations. They're ways the person's system is adapting to really complex conditions. So trying to patch over them with control and advice, well, it could ignore what the underlying pattern is trying to do. One vivid idea from the paper is the notion of phase transition. In system science, that means a system can suddenly reorganize when the environment changes, like when water becomes ice. In therapy, this might look like a sudden breakthrough, an aha moment where things click after a period of struggle. Kriz argues that the actualizing tendency, facilitated by authentic relationship, invites these moments rather than forcing change through top-down interventions. If you think about your own life, you might remember a time when a supportive environment let you suddenly see a problem differently. No one really fixed you, but something shifted. The big takeaway. Chris isn't saying that psychotherapy is a science experiment or should just import terms from physics. It's about using systems theory to escape the traps of mechanistic metaphors and offer richer, more flexible ways of understanding and supporting human development. And again, I'm sharing the paper's arguments to open up reflection, not to say this is the answer or that all therapy must follow these ideas. Academic research is, after all, a set of perspectives to ponder, not gospel to accept unquestioningly. So next time you're struggling with change or supporting someone else, you might ask, are we trying to fix a problem from the outside? Or are we making space for new patterns, new self-organization to emerge? And maybe, just maybe, it pays to be a little more gardener and a little less mechanic, at least sometimes. That's all for today's episode of In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep questioning, stay curious, and see academic research as food for thought, not as rigid truth. Catch you next time.